Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your read aloud of Wonder. I just want you to realize how much I love all of you, because in this section that I'm going to read today, there is actually some singing, which I'm as good at singing as I am at drawing in art. So those of you that know me well know that this will be a little bit difficult for me. Just love me for who I am. All right, if you are following along in a book, I am on page 289 at the chapter titled Bear. We called the puppy Bear because when Mom first saw him, she said he looked just like a little bear cub. That's what we should call him. And everyone agreed that that was the perfect name. I took the next day off from school, not because my elbow was hurting me, which it was, but so I could play with Bear all day long. Mom let Via stay home from school too, so the two of us took turns cuddling with Bear and playing tug-of-war with him. We had kept all of Daisy's old toys, and we brought them out now to see which ones he'd like best. It was fun hanging out with Via all day, just the two of us. It was like old times, like before I started going to school. Back then, I couldn't wait for her to come home from school so she could play with me before starting her homework. Now that we're older, though, and I'm going to school and have friends of my own that I hang out with, we never do that anymore. So it was nice hanging out with her, laughing and playing. I think she liked it, too. The shift. When I went back to school the next day, the first thing I noticed was that there was a big shift in the way things were. A monumental shift, a seismic shift, maybe even a cosmic shift. Whatever you want to call it, it was a big shift. Everyone, not just in our grade, but every grade, had heard about what had happened to us with the seventh graders. So suddenly, I wasn't known for what I'd always been known for, but for this other thing that had happened. And the story of what happened had gotten bigger and bigger each time it was told. 2 days later, the way the story went was that Amos had gotten into a major fist fight with the kid. And Miles and Henry and Jack had thrown some punches at the guys, too. And the escape across the field became this whole long adventure through a cornfield maze and into deep, dark woods. Jack's version of the story was probably the best because he's so funny. But in whatever version of the story, and no matter who was telling it, two things always stayed the same. I got picked on because of my face, and Jack defended me. And those guys, Amos, Henry, and Miles, protected me. And now that they'd protected me, I was different to them. It was like I was one of them. They all called me little dude now, even the jocks. These big dudes I barely even knew would knuckle punch me in the hallways now. Another thing to come out of this was that Amos became super popular, more popular than Julian, because he missed the whole thing and was really out of the loop. Miles and Henry were hanging out with Amos all the time now, like they switched best friends. I'd like to be able to say that Julian started treating me better too, but that wouldn't be true. He still gave me dirty looks across the room. He still never talked to me or Jack, but he was the only one who was like that now, and me and Jack, we could care less. Ducks. The day before the last day of school, Mr. Tushman called me into his office to tell me that he had found out the names of the seventh graders from the nature retreat. He read off a bunch of names that didn't mean anything to me, and then he said the last name, Edward Johnson. I nodded. You recognize that name, he said? They called him Eddie. Right, well, they found this in Edward's locker. He handed me what was left of my hearing aid headband. The right piece was completely gone and the left one was mangled. The band that connected the two, the lobot part, was bent down the middle. His school wants to know if you want to press charges, said Mr. Tushman. I looked at my hearing aid. No, I don't think so, I shrugged. I'm being fitted for a new one anyway. Why don't you talk to your parents tonight? I'll call your mom tomorrow to talk about it with her, too. Would they go to jail? I asked. No, not jail, but they'd probably go to juvie court, and maybe they'll learn a lesson that way. Trust me, that Eddie kid is not learning any lessons, I joked. He sat down behind his desk. Augie, why don't you sit down a second, he said. I sat down. All the things on his desk were the same as when I first walked into his office last summer. The same mirrored cube. The same little globe floating in the air. That felt like ages ago. Hard to believe this year's almost over, huh? He said, almost like he was reading my mind. Yeah. Has it been a good year for you, Augie? Has it been okay? Yeah, it's been good, I nodded. I know academically it's been a great year for you. You are one of our top students. Congrats on the high honor roll. Yeah, thanks. That's cool. But I know it's had its share of ups and downs, he said, raising his eyebrows. Certainly that night at the nature reserve was one of the low points. Yeah, I nodded, but it was also kind of good too. In what way? Well, you know how people stood up for me and stuff? That was pretty wonderful, he said, smiling. Yeah, I know in school things got a little hairy with Julian at times. I have to admit, he surprised me with that one. You know about that stuff? I asked him. Middle school directors have a way of knowing about a lot of stuff. Do you have like secret security cameras in the hallways? I joked. And microphones everywhere, he laughed. No, seriously. He laughed again. No, not seriously. Oh, but teachers know more than kids think, Augie. I wish you and Jack had come to me about the mean notes that were left in your lockers. How do you know about that? I said. I'm telling you, middle school directors know all. It wasn't that big a deal, I answered, and we wrote notes too. He smiled. I don't know if it's public yet, he said, though it will be soon anyway. But Julian Albans is not coming back to Beecher Prep next year. What? I said. I honestly couldn't hide how surprised I was. His parents don't think Beecher Prep is a good fit for him, Mr. Tishman continued, raising his shoulders. Wow, that's big news, I said. Yeah, I thought you should know. Then suddenly, I noticed that the pumpkin portrait that used to be behind his desk was gone, and my drawing, my self-portrait as an animal that I drew for the New Year art show, was now framed and hanging behind his desk. Hey, that's mine, I pointed. Mr. Tushman turned around like he didn't know what I was talking about. Oh, that's right, he said, tapping his forehead. I've been meaning to show you this for months now. My self-portrait is a duck, I nodded. I love this piece, Augie, he said. When your art teacher showed it to me, I asked her if I could keep it for my wall. I hope that's okay with you. Oh, yeah, sure. What happened to the pumpkin portrait? Right behind you. Oh, yeah, nice. I've been meaning to ask you since I hung this up, he said, looking at it. Why did you choose to represent yourself as a duck? What do you mean? I answered. That was the assignment. Yes, but why a duck? He said. Is it safe to assume that it was because of the story, the duckling that turns into a swan? No, I laughed, shaking my head. It's because I think I look like a duck. Oh, said Mr. Tushman, his eyes opening wide. He started laughing. Really? Huh. Here I was looking for symbolism or metaphors, and sometimes a duck is just a duck. Yeah, I guess, I said, not quite getting why he thought it was so funny. He laughed to himself for a good 30 seconds. Anyway, Augie, thanks for chatting with me, he said finally. I just want you to know it's truly a pleasure having you here at Beecher Prep, and I'm really looking forward to next year. He reached across the desk and we shook hands. See you tomorrow at graduation. See you tomorrow, Mr. Tushman. The last precept. This was written on Mr. Brown's chalkboard when we walked into English class for the last time. Mr. Brown's June precept. Just follow the day and reach for the sun. The polyphonic spree. Have a great summer vacation, Class 5B. It's been a great year, and you've been a wonderful group of students. If you remember, please send me a postcard this summer with your personal precept. It can be something you made up for yourself or something you've read somewhere that means something to you. If so, don't forget the attribution, please. I really look forward to getting them. Tom Brown. The drop-off. The graduation ceremony was held at Beecher Prep Upper School Auditorium. It was only about a 15-minute walk from our house to the other campus building, but Dad drove me because I was all dressed up and I had on new shiny black shoes that weren't broken in yet, and I didn't want my feet to hurt. Students were supposed to arrive at the auditorium an hour before the ceremony started, but we got there even earlier, so we sat in the car and waited. Dad turned on the CD player and our favorite song came on, and we both smiled and started bobbing our heads to the music. Dad sang along with the song. Andy would bicycle across town in the rain to bring you candy. Hey, is my tie on straight? I said. He looked and straightened it a tiny bit, and then he kept singing. And John would buy the gown for you to wear to the prom. Does my hair look okay? I said. He smiled and nodded. Perfect, he said. You look great, Augie. Thea put some gel in it this morning, I said, pulling down the sun visor and looking into the mirror. It doesn't look too puffy. No, it's very, very cool, Augie. I don't think you've ever had it this short before, have you? No, I got it cut yesterday. I think it makes me look more grown up, don't you? Definitely, he was smiling, looking at me and nodding. But I'm the luckiest guy on the Lower East Side, 'cause I got wheels and you wanna go for a ride. Look at you, Augie, he said, smiling from ear to ear. Look at you, looking so grown up and spiffy. I can't believe you're graduating from the fifth grade. I know, it's pretty awesome, right? I nodded. It feels like just yesterday that you started. Remember, I still had that Star Wars braid hanging from the back of my head? Oh my gosh, that's right, he said, rubbing his palm over his forehead. You hated that braid, didn't you, Dad? Hate is too strong a word, but I definitely didn't love it. You hated it. Come on, admit it, I teased. No, I didn't hate it, he smiled, shaking his head. But I will admit to hating that astronaut helmet you used to wear. Do you remember? The one Miranda gave me? Of course I remember. I used to wear that thing all the time. Good God, I hated that thing. He laughed almost more to himself. I was so bummed when it got lost, I said. Oh, it didn't get lost, he answered casually. I threw it out. Wait, what? I said. I honestly didn't think I was hearing him right. The day is beautiful, and so are you, he was singing. Dad, I said, turning the volume down. What? He said. You threw it out? He finally looked at my face and saw how mad I was. I couldn't believe he was being so matter-of-fact about the whole thing. I mean, to me, this was a major revelation, and he was acting like it was no big deal. Augie, I couldn't stand seeing that thing cover your face anymore, he said clumsily. Dad, I love that helmet. It meant a lot to me. I was bummed beyond belief when it got lost. Don't you remember? Of course I remember, Augie, he said softly. No, Augie, don't be mad. I'm sorry. I just couldn't stand seeing you wear that thing on your head anymore, you know? I didn't think it was good for you. He was trying to look me in the eye, but I wouldn't look at him. Come on, Augie, please try to understand, he continued, putting his hand under my chin and tilting my face toward him. You were wearing that helmet all the time. And the real, real, real truth is, I miss seeing your face, Augie. I know you don't always love it, but you have to understand, I love it. I love this face of yours, Augie, completely and passionately. And it kind of broke my heart that you were always covering it up. He was squinting at me like he really wanted me to understand. Does Mom know? I said. He opened his eyes wide. No way, are you kidding me? She would have killed me. She tore the place apart looking for that helmet, Dad, I said. I meant she spent like a week looking for it in every closet, in the laundry room, everywhere. I know, he said, nodding. That's why she'd kill me. And then he looked at me, and something about his expression made me start laughing, which made him open his mouth wide like he just realized something. Wait a minute, Augie, he said, pointing his finger at me. You have to promise me you will never tell Mommy anything about this. I smiled and rubbed my palms together like I was about to get very greedy. Let's see, I said, stroking my chin. I'll be wanting that new Xbox when it comes out next month. And I'll definitely be wanting my own car in about 6 years. A red Porsche would be nice. And he started laughing. I love it when I'm the one who makes Dad laugh, since he's usually the funny man that gets everybody else laughing. Oh boy, he said, shaking his head. You really have grown up. The part of the song we loved to sing the most started to play, and I turned up the volume and we both started singing. I'm the ugliest guy on the overly side, but I've got wheels and you wanna go for a ride, wanna go for a ride, wanna go for a ride, wanna go for a ride. We always sang that last part at the top of our lungs, trying to hold that last note as long as the guy that sang the song, which always made us crack up. While we were laughing, we noticed Jack had arrived and was walking over to our car. I started to get out. Hold on, said Dad. I just want to make sure you've forgiven me, okay? Yes, I forgive you. He looked at me gratefully. Thank you. But don't ever throw anything else of mine out again without telling me. I promise. I opened the door and got out just as Jack reached the car. Hey, Jack, I said. Hey, Augie. Hey, Mr. Pullman, said Jack. How you doing, Jack, said Dad. See you later, Dad, I said, closing the door. Good luck, guys, Dad called out, rolling down the front window. See you on the other side of fifth grade. We waved as he turned on the ignition and started to pull away. But then I ran over and he stopped the car. I put my head in the window so Jack wouldn't hear what I was saying. Can you guys not kiss me a lot after graduation? I asked quietly. It's kind of embarrassing. I'll try my best. Tell Mom, too. I don't think she'll be able to resist, Augie, but I'll pass it along. Bye, dear old Dad, he smiled. Bye, my son, my son. And that is where I need to stop for today. Tomorrow when I pick up, we will be on page 302. And the chapter is titled, Take Your Seats, Everyone. Have a great day.